Attention. The National Weather Service has issued a hurricane warning for the entirety of the National Hockey League. Please stay tuned for further information from the Storm Cellar.
Welcome back to the Storm Cellar, episode 100, Ray.
Woo!
I feel like when I started this, I remember, actually, I was like, if we get 10 listeners, awesome. Like, that's above and beyond expectations. I thought we might get through it, you know, just to kind of get through COVID years because, you know, it gave us a connection to the team. We're out of the COVID years. We're at 100 episodes, a lot more than 10 listeners, that's for sure. And approaching 10,000 downloads. And considering we don't do summers for the most part, we've kind of taken summers off. Like, I'm really happy about that. That's pretty awesome. So what are your thoughts, man? 100 episodes.
It's fantastic. And when it started, when you came to me to ask me to join you for this, I was like, yes, but it was, and like you, I did not have a lot of expectations for size of crowd listening. For me, it was more of a chance to speak with a friend who I've known for online forever and talk about
almost 25 years.
Yeah. And talk about a team that we love. You know what I mean? And if anything, it was just like a cathartic aspect, personal. It was strictly personal. On my end. You know what I mean? But now we've had a chance to meet when we came up with the idea to bring in the other Caniacs from all over the world. And we've had them from all over the world, right? Finland, Scotland. Where else? Other places in Canada, obviously. We've had Holland, right? Germany, we've had fans from like everywhere.
We have listeners in places like the UAE and New Zealand.
Isn't that great?
So, South America. Yeah.
So we are so thankful for all of you. And it's like connecting the family that is Caniacs and Jerks. Yeah. And I've heard people who say that, you know, calling it a family is a little dicey. In fact, I heard it on the podcast that is hosted by our guests today, where they say, sometimes you don't want to say family because everyone's got a crazy uncle. Well, you and I are the crazy uncles.
That's fine. I'm okay.
Yeah. We're the ones.
But we're fun, crazy, right? We're not like mean. Like, we're not like crazy drunk uncle, the SNL character. Like, we're like the fun uncle, right?
Yeah, we totally are. We totally are. And what makes it even better is because we have examples from folks like our guests today. I have had the pleasure of doing sponsorship ads for them, and I beat on one of our guests, but Zach Martin, the one true Zach.
Two uncles and a grandpa.
And that's right. Okay. Look,
Zach just walked off the show. Oops.
He did. Yeah. He's just walking out. I didn't do it this time, Zach. Okay. So I didn't do it. Zach Martin joins us. Also, Bailey Curtis, who is in my time zone, which is great, is she's up early in the morning. We have 2/3 of the Surgecast. Thank you so much for joining us on 100 to celebrate. It was a joy to be a part of your guys's Surgecast as well. And your 100 was amazing, let me say.
I'll just say to you guys, congratulations on 100, but thank you so much for allowing us to be part of that. Like that's amazing.
Oh, it's awesome.
We love you guys.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. Yeah, it's an honor to be on your 100, and thank you for appreciating. Yeah, it's still shocking on the fact of how our 100 worked out, but I don't know. I think your guys' 100 will be so much better than ours. I mean,
I don't know about that.
There's nothing better than spending an episode 100 with family. So
yeah, there you go. I absolutely love it.
You got the fun uncles or the funkles, as you say, but yeah, funkles, it's the funkles. But
you got the respective 6-year-old of the podcast. So
hey, wouldn't you have to put "and" in your birth year?
Here we go again. That's awesome.
And a shout out to Kat, who can't be with us today, because I think I speak for Ray and I. Getting a chance to meet the three of you in person at Stadium Series, one of my highlights of Stadium Series weekend.
It was so much fun. And the good thing too is Surgecast is gonna be back together again for the Avs game because Bailey's gonna be out, and
on a plane in a week.
Nice. Yeah, and you're gonna be here for a whole week too, which is kind of crazy as well. And Big shout out to Daniel Wagner. He's actually I was able to get his tickets for the Avs game, so I'm gonna be
awesome,
a fan,
dude.
A fan, yeah,
he's
a great guy,
too.
Yeah.
One of our guests as well, and yeah, I mean, it's guy, just yeah. fantastic. And I gotta say, getting you guys together after the Hall of Fame game, in our little whole you know, Judge Wapner's, you know, return to the Holy Land omnibus interview, where I got as many people as I could. It was outstanding, and you guys led things off. And Kat, yeah, we really wanted her to be able to join us. She has been on fire lately with her points and stuff, especially about like Natchez. I know she was right in line with, you know, Brad and I, who are saying the same things. And I've thrown down with Kat about other things too, and respectfully, you know, going back and forth about our ideas. And it's fantastic. That's what you want in a podcast, where you can have civil discussions, because there's not a lot of that going on anymore about virtually anything.
No.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's fantastic.
And speaking of that, Ray, we were talking just a minute before the show. So like you said, Ray, when I had the idea for our podcast, you know, I'm in Boston, you're in Edmonton. I can't just go to the local sports bar or see my neighbors and talk Hurricanes hockey, right? Because they want to talk Bruins up in your area. They're going to want to talk, you know, Flames or Oilers. So it was very selfish of us. But I also wanted something like my kid could listen to, something family friendly. That's been something that we've maintained, I think, and done a good job with. Laura Wheeler was our first guest. And that kind of set the direction of, hey, like, let's make this as much about the fans as the team, right? Because nobody's doing that. And then the SurgeCast, y'all do a wonderful job. And I think the State of Hurricanes Hockey podcasts, if that's such a thing, is in really good shape. We've lost a couple that I thought were pretty good, but I think the quality of podcast between us, you guys, you know, Colin over at Home Ice Advantage, the official Canes cast, like, not to say anything negative about the other Canes podcasts. I was just telling even Zach and Bailey, I don't even get to listen to their whole episodes usually, because I don't have a lot of podcasts. I don't even listen to our podcast, right? I record it, I edit it, out the door. So, you know, if I didn't name you, it's not a slight. It's just, I just don't have time to listen a bunch. I did listen to a Kaniac Sessions the other day, which I enjoyed a lot. I know there's a couple other ones out there, and I hope it's good. But I love the fact that, and I say this all the time, right? We will never be the biggest fan base. We will never be a Toronto. We will never be Rangers size fan base, unless the earth hits like 15 billion people, and then we'll still be, you know, we'll be at 10 million and they'll be at 100 million. But you'll never find a more dedicated, more loyal group than the Kaniacs, right? That's there is something special about it. Even in the Boston game the other night at Boston Garden, you know, everybody in a Whaler or Hurricanes jersey like came over for fist bumps and things. Like, no hesitation. Yeah. Nobody's like shy about it. Everybody's like, oh, like we're in this together. You know, small market folks gotta kind of hang in there. So it was a wonderful time and a wonderful fan base to be a part of. So,
and I'll tell you too, while us Kaniacs are not big traveling fans, like the kind of New England area type teams, maybe, I will tell you, I being in an away state where I have to wait till my team comes to town in order to see them, was the most welcoming experience meeting different Canes fans and like getting to chat with them in a space that's not, you know, entirely like it's foreign. And I mean, as an away fan, and it's really, really nice to kind of see that community. And, you know, we might be small in numbers, but we're there to support the team. And it's such a cool environment to watch it, everybody who is there as an away fan coming together to support this team. And it warms my heart, honestly.
It does. Yeah. And Bailey, I'll tell you, I'm sure you've noticed it. I know I have. In Calgary, we're growing.
There
are more fans coming out. You actually don't totally feel like Custer when you stand and cheer in the Saddle Dome dump that it is.
When I went to my away game, there were at least 15, 20 other Canes fans in my section. And we did like the classic PNC jabs and things.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to hear that in an away stadium for the away team. Like, that's awesome.
And so real quick, wait. So I move car. So Aaron, who's on Twitter and was on the show just a couple weeks ago, we met up with another couple who are Canes fans, Autumn and Nick. And shout out to them. They're Canes fans because they are from Massachusetts, but they used to go to Lowell Lock Monsters games when they were the affiliates with the Canes.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and then I met another guy at the Ross, who's been part of my New England Caniacs Facebook group for years. And he, same thing. He's a Boston-born guy. I think he was from Woburn or Burlington or somewhere in that area, okay, just outside Boston. But another Massachusetts born and raised, you know, he Whale fan become Caniac, right? And it's
That's
really
fantastic.
Cool. It's why I never give people a hard time wearing a jersey of the team not playing, because I'm that guy. And I do it because it's amazing. I'll wear a Canes jersey to the Boston PWHL game, for example, and people come up and they're like, oh, I love the Hurricanes. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I did not expect that. You know, in Lowell, Massachusetts on a, you know, Wednesday night at a, you know, a PWHL game. And it might only be one, but that makes two of us, right?
Yeah. And just very quickly, I wanted to jump in about Calgary. One of my favorite episodes, and you're talking about the, like Bailey said, maybe we don't travel as well as other teams' fans. And that's probably true. One of my favorite episodes was the Calgary Roundtable. I had four Caniacs, three of which were traveling on a big road trip, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver. They were all going through. I had a fan of the team that shall not be named in there as well. I mean, it was a fantastic, and we were able, yeah, I know, right? So, you know, I'll pat myself on the back for stomaching it, right? But
I'm so proud of you.
It was great. Yeah, it doesn't, you know, baby steps, right? Baby steps. But it was so much fun to see and share the experience with traveling fans, getting their stories. And that's what's the most important to me. It's like, I love hearing the stories, whether you, you know, transferred from one team to a next and the Hurricanes won you over, or we're seeing this generational thing with, because we're now getting into the generational aspect of it, a 25, 26, I guess, seasons now here, where it's not just, you know, the old guys who were, you know, with the Whalers who carried on, right? We're talking about kids who grew up because their parents took them to the games, right? They celebrated Game 7 as a kid. Right. And they stayed through the hard times, the dark days, and they're celebrating now. Like, that's just amazing. That's the best part of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's crazy just to see where we are at. And like you said, season 26 of the team, and just seeing the different like pockets of fandoms from people following the team since 06, or like Bailey's case, 2010, or even people now are like, who kind of became fans during the dark ages. And like, you know, you guys come over from the Whalers, and probably there's a select group of like fans like me who are like, okay, we became fans as kids right when the team moved down. And you basically just grew with the team from being in Greensboro, now getting into the Raleigh Entertainment Sports Complex, to RBC, to PNC, and all that stuff. And it's like my first Hurricanes game, or I think hockey game in general. I can't remember anything past before six. It's very, you know,
it's all a blur.
It's a blur. But like, first game, Greensboro Coliseum, was like behind the goal against the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim when they were still called the Mighty Ducks, right, in 97. Then going to, you know, the new building in 99, and going through, you know, those seasons, and then going back as going into freshman year of high school, seeing the Canes win before starting high school, which is still crazy to think about. Yeah. And then just where it is now, it's to see, you know, the journey of the team as well. You know, 02 run, win the cup in 06, get back to the conference final in 09, go through the dark ages, and you come out of it with Rod Brendamore. Then you get a stadium series, which is still crazy. There's a select group of us who were at the home opener, at the cup, game seven for the cup, you know, and then go into the All-Star game and go into the stadium series. Like, it's just the Phantom is so great, and just seeing the different generations. Like, you know, you had guys that Jules on. She's a second generation Hurricanes fan. You know,
yes.
There's so many different stories. I think is what makes this podcast so great, is that you're hearing different stories of different generations of Hurricanes fans.
You know what'll be fun is when Baby Bo, you know, who's what, one now?
Oh yeah.
In like 10 years, when we have like when Bo's old enough and Bo can come on and talk about, I've been like since I was born, I had pictures of me, you know, a couple of weeks old, my first Canes game with my head. That'll be awesome.
Get Mary and Matt on. Yeah, that'd be so great.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
So moving from the reminiscing, and we could do this for the entire time.
100%.
We planned something special for you guys. And it's something that we do all the time, but we're changing it up just a little. Brad, it's time for the storm report. But this time it's something different. We have never in the history of doing the storm report rated every player and aspect of the team in its entirety. We just would ask folks to select one because sometimes it's so much, right? But we're looking at this team and it's the aspects of how they play so far this season, and we're rating everyone and everything, either a hurricane, tropical storm, or tropical depression. And it's a tough, tough job. We kind of sprung it on you. I mean, Brad and I knew what was going on, but you guys sort got of. The notice kind of. You guys kind of got the notice late, and so we're putting you on the spot. But when you're experts,
the spontaneity makes it more fun.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, yeah.
Experts like you, of course, we're going to be able to pull this off.
Please. I'll say
so. Yeah. So, Brad, we're going to put you in charge. You get to call out the name, and we will just hit them up.
Yeah.
What we think. And is anyone taking notes of that? Are you taking notes of this of where we put everyone?
Yeah, I can take notes.
Cool. Awesome.
I was definitely didn't forget about that. And I was definitely 100% going to do notes.
Yeah.
That's exactly. He could hear,
you're on top
hear
of it.
It.
Yeah,
the confidence in his voice. You hear it. You know it. He was well prepared. And I did not 100% drop the
brain power
on you right now.
I don't have the brain power to do like the Bailey quizzes and like, cause some of those are hard. Like
they were hard.
They are so much fun. Like I'm excited for like the end of the season games that she's going to come up with. It's just, like end of season. Like
you see the smile on her face. Hey, she's just salivating. She just gave me the Charles Montgomery Burns.
Yeah. I will say this real quick before we really get started. I'm so proud of Bailey and Kat for what they did with the Women in Sports Roundtable. It's just
what an amazing episode.
So great. I'm hoping we can get Hannah Yates on really soon, because I know scheduling conflicts kind of happen, but just to get, you know, Kaylee, Jules Moore, and, you know, Jules from the Columbus Blue Jackets, you know, Annie O'Dea from the Ducks, Nicia, the whole thing that they did, 3 hours long, two different episodes, it carried us for like 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't have to do anything cool. We're like, but just the way they did it, the way they went about it, it's the discussions was so great. Like, having Bailey and Callum bring a whole different aspect to the search cast that I never even thought we would have, and just what they did with those two episodes, I couldn't be more proud. And like, it's a great aspect of having different voices on podcasts and talking about sports. And cause they even said it in the shows, it's so male dominated, and to get women on a podcast together I think it's a nice change of course. It's a nice refresh of like, okay, there are other perspectives out there.
Exactly.
And having them on, I think, because for me, like when I started the podcast and brought them on, I'm like, you know what, we want different voices, and that's why having those two on, I think, is what makes the podcast so much better. Because I'm just some guy who just talks about the Hurricanes, but getting different voices and different perspectives on things, I think, is what really helps grow the voices of women in sports that need to be heard and more understood. So I just want to say I'm just proud of them for what they did.
Yeah, you hit it right on point. Informative, entertaining, eye-opening. I mean, that was what, you know, having Nancia and the other young woman who had just started going to games and just learning as
Jules.
Well. Yes, thank you. It was so cool because, again, and Brad and I experienced this with, you know, Computer and Coin and Sia, reliving the experience through their eyes, but different because, again, sadly, women get, you know, pushed aside a lot of times as far as opinions and said, and everyone will go, oh yes, thank you, very nice to share your opinion, and they get pushed aside, and it's brutal because people like Bailey and Kat and all the guests that you had, so informative, intelligent, they were talking the sport straight, and it was amazing. It was it was perfect, frankly. Those two episodes were just awesome, very, very well done, and I loved listening to every second. It was so good. So good.
It was really fun to put on. And honestly, I have to give most of the credit to Kat because like I've hosted a ladies' night before where Zach was otherwise occupied. And it was really cool to kind of bring women on the first time. But this is the first podcast we've done where we've really focused on women's role in sports. And not only that, but we're talking about the different experiences that we've had. So like we started off episode two kind of talking about like what that kind of pushback on women in sports kind of looked like. And then we spent the rest of the episode just kind of talking about experiences and things that we enjoy about the game. And hearing that women have found a place to belong in this crazy world of hockey and baseball and football and whatever it might be, it's really inspiring. And what's even better about it is everybody brings something to the table. Like it's not like, oh, we're bringing you on for it to get your opinion on this. Like they have something special to bring. They have not just the things that they've contributed to the community, like Nancy's videos. I've loved watching them since day one. They know about the game, and if they don't know about the game, they're eager to know about the game, and like they're constantly learning and growing. And to watch the support that we got, not just from the people on the podcast, but everybody like you guys and a lot of other people on Twitter who came to our aid and support and said, this is awesome. Thank you for doing this. As somebody who maybe is not a female in sports, thank you. This is awesome. Was really, really cool to see how much everybody rallied around it. And we're extremely proud of that episode.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would never presume to tell you guys how to run your show, but please, another ladies' night somewhere down the line, like keep that up.
I think we're keeping it to one episode a season, or at least one episode a season.
That's fantastic. So. It's fantastic because what you're doing is amazing, just amazing. You guys are the best. No question.
Honestly, they don't need me anymore. Like,
shush.
We don't need Zach. It's all right.
Okay. Let's get to this.
Okay.
I'm gonna say if we keep talking about it anymore.
we're gonna put us all on the line here. You go, Brad. Take over.
All right. So I'm just gonna throw out a name. And without explanation, or at least minimal explanation, we're just going to kind of go through the list, right? Because there's just a lot of, you know, we're looking at 29 players, I think. Everybody's been told if they have one they feel kind of strongly about, like, you know, expound upon one, right? So pick one that for whatever reason, like this person needs some kudos, or this person is dogging it and they need, you know, a good swift kick in the butt. We all know that as we dog people on this program, they tend to play a lot better and make Ray and I look terrible. That's fine with me as long as it works. Okay.
We're happy to take that bullet.
We're going to start with the goaltenders.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Excellent.
I'm going to throw you an easy one. I just put us down in alphabetical order. Mm-hmm. So if that works, it's easier for me to write. Frederick Anderson. Let's start with Frederick Anderson. Bailey, you're up first.
Oh, I'm up first. Okay.
B A before B R, ma'am. Even with two Ys.
Geez, you're really catching me on the spot here because I don't really know how to go about this. Give him tropical storm.
Okay.
Right smack dab in the middle for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to give him depression only because like he hasn't played, right? Like if he's not playing, he's not a benefit to us. Mm-hmm. I think tropic storm is fair because before he was out, things were fine, right? You know,
played so decent. Yeah. Looked a little rusty. You know,
there's no wrong answers here, especially for somebody who, he was in a number of games this year, but you know, it wasn't like we've seen him for much of a season. So, Ray, that makes you third, sir.
He's tropical depression for me in so much as injuries, and we just don't get a chance to see him, and he's in a rough spot now. So there you go.
All right.
Tropical depression for me.
Mr. Zach.
This is probably one of the more difficult ones for me, just because of like you said, he hasn't played since like game six of the season, and I won't put him in tropical depression because like he played well when he was actually in. So I put him as tropical storm. Just because of basing off his play at the time, mm-hmm. he was fine.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
That's fair. Yeah, no and question. Really quickly, I've seen a bunch of people say, hey, why don't we put Freddie on LTIR, you know, long term? That only helps you with cap space if you're mm-hmm. up to the cap, and we're not. So it actually hurt us in the long run.
We
and
are so, right now at like, we're over 6 million in cap space. Because I was listening to last Kane's cast.
Okay.
And they said we were over 6 million in cap space because of Freddie being on IR and not LTIR.
Okay. But that's
because he still gets paid while on IR.
Mm-hmm. But it's worse if we put him on LTIR and then that comes back to bite us. It's what happened at Tampa Bay a few years ago. So just since we're talking about Anderson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Next up, Antti Raanta. Bailey.
Tropical storm, because there's been games where he's really come up big for us, but he's really struggled with injury and confidence. And I don't want to label him as a depression because I think he has bouts of games. The consistency is why he doesn't get a hurricane from me.
100% the same. Tropical storm. We know he can play better. He's been playing better. Let's let him continue to hopefully play better, right?
Yeah,
Ray.
Tropical storm. He's just coming out of depression. He's into storm mode. If we did this 3 weeks ago, I would have said depression. But he's now into storm mode and moving up.
Yep. Go ahead, Zach.
Same thing. Yeah, tropical storm. He's if you like what Ray said, you asked me 3 weeks ago, depression for sure. He's played great since he's come back. Some about the Hurricanes waving a guy, bringing him back. He's kicking it in gear. And I think Raanta has, and you saw that for the mom's trip, everyone chanting his name. Yeah. The start of the season wasn't great. As of recently going into the break, he's been playing great. I can't be upset with that. So yeah, especially after how they played last night against the Coyotes. Got to put him in tropical storm.
Yeah. And everybody loves the guy, right? I shouldn't say it's never personal. It's usually not personal. It's just, you know.
Depends on who you ask on Kane's Twitter. Then it's a different
story. Yeah, sometimes it is. All right, Bailey. Kochetkov.
This man is a tropical storm about to turn into a hurricane for me.
Same. Piotr looks like Chicago Wolves. Era Piotr, right? Like that initial season, 3 wins in 2 starts, Piotr. Like that's what we need out of this kid. So I agree with you.
I'm happy to put him in as a hurricane simply because he wants to chuck knuckles with Tkachuk. He made him look like a donut. He's made some sensational saves. I only wish he would hold on to his stick. That's one of the things that you can do a drinking game.
I think
with.
It adds
how
character.
Many times he lets go of his stick, which is every game. So you'll have at least one drink a game playing that one. Zach, what do you think?
Well, Ray, I guess you should say he's Tkachuk and knuckles is what you really
Tkachuk
meant
to say. Tkachuk and knuckles. Thank you. Yes.
I have him as Hurricane. He's there's outside of the two Islanders games, which I mean, it's the Islanders. What can you do about that? I think he's played great this year. He stepped up big when the Hurricanes really needed him most, especially when Ronta and Anderson were both out, and it was Piotr and Peretz, and he's like that stretch of games. I think it was the Ottawa Senators on the back end of that road trip, like that whole last end of the road trip coming back into the home break, he was on a streak of like plus 900 save percentage and letting in like one goal or less. And I think he's played great this year. You know, he backed up last night for his first game back. I think he's going to be fine. He's been playing really well. Yeah. I have him as a Hurricane. This was a slam dunk answer for me when it came to him. He's a Hurricane in my opinion.
Rock on. Nice. So the last two goalies are kind of tough, right? But his playing time. But Bailey, Spencer Martin,
we've only seen one game. I don't know if it was the game that I watched. But from what I've seen highlight wise, I'll give this man a high tropical storm. I know it's an average answer, but I think coming into a new system and kind of getting the hang of things, the team played well in front of him, and I think he played well behind the team.
Awesome. I was at that game, seven rows behind the bench, just saying, and I'm gonna give him a Hurricane.
So subtle.
I gave him a Hurricane for two reasons. One, it's the Boston Bruins. They're playing lights out. He allowed two goals. He had a 929 save percentage. And the biggest thing to me was every time he come back to the bench, like during TV timeouts and things, big smile on his face, super relaxed. He didn't know he was starting until I think that morning. So you bring him in and you're like, we're throwing you to the wolves, by the way. Because he even said, like, I don't know the defenseman and stuff. Like, luckily it's a system and we were able to do it. So for him to come out and just – you know, stonewall the Bruins like he did, high marks. You know, that might be the only game we see him in, but if it is, that was a good one.
Hey, it does help when you go from the Blue Jackets to the Hurricanes. You actually get some sound defense. So
it does indeed help, right?
Yeah, for me, so I put him as a Hurricane, mostly because, I mean, you can only judge him on what we see. What I saw was a goaltender who could control rebounds, move them where he needed to go and stuff, and he just played a sound, solid game, made the big saves that he needed. That's what you get, Hurricane, right there.
Yeah.
Zach, what do you think?
I put him same as Bailey, high tropical storm, almost Hurricane, because it's one game. Yeah. Like, I would like to put him as a Hurricane, but for me, it's like, if you're a goalie, I think we need to see like five or more games to kind of put you into that range. So I think if you are a goalie with at least a game to like two or three, that'll keep you as a very high tropical storm, almost turning into Hurricane. But yeah, he played great. I mean, it's Brad Marchand. What can you do? Those two goals weren't his fault. So it's one of those ones where it's like, it's your first game, new team, new system. Like you said, Brad, throw him to the wolves. Like I said, very high. This is where you give him a very high tropical storm.
Yeah. Because he wasn't perfect. Right. I mean, but good. But
those goals weren't really his fault either. So that's why I kind of give him that. Cause it's just a game. Like I said, if it was five or more games, then yeah, I would kind of move on, but that's just, you know, that's just how I see it. But yeah, he played great. So yeah.
Rock on. Yanni for Peretz, Bailey. So this guy we saw for one period, right? So this makes it really tough.
Hey, he's 1,000 save percent. So
it's true.
Put some respect on this man's name.
On one shot, one save.
Despite Zach's reasoning behind giving him Martin a
very high tropical storm.
I can't talk today. Jeez. I am going to give Peretz a Hurricane. I really enjoyed watching him play against the Kings. He came in for relief during the third period, and I think played phenomenally. He played with a lot of composure. He looked really excited to be out there. I'm really excited to see what this kid is capable of moving forward.
Same. For the same reason as Martin, I'm giving him a Hurricane. He's an ECHL, like, right? He's fresh. Like, you're tossing new meat to the Wolves, regardless of who the Wolves are in the NHL. Like, every team can score on you. And he goes and he stops the one shot he faces. Like, that's, you can't get better than that for, you know, for somebody who's being asked to play in a level that is currently, not necessarily always, but is currently, you know, probably above his head some. So I gave him a Hurricane because, you know, hey, one shot attempt is more than the Coyotes got in the third last night. So.
Yeah. Look, for Peretz, I went off the board on this. You know, the weathermen who look out into the ocean and they see a developing weather system coming in. That's where he is. He has all potential, but on one shot, like just having one shot just wasn't enough to say anything. So I see him as a weather system coming in. We don't know exactly what we have. I think it's got potential to be a hurricane and a great, humongous category 5 he could be, but he's so far off in the distance, you just can't see. So I just call him just a weather development is what I've called him.
That's not a and category. I've gone off
the category.
I know it's not a category. Category. I love it. That's, you know what? That's Ooh. What I'm doing. I'm going off the board.
He's Ooh. Taking co-host privilege and making him a new category.
That's right. We make up the rules as we go.
Wow. Right.
Boo, right. Boo, hiss, and fart to your...
Oh, dad. There we go. All right. If I had
okay,
to pick,
Trip
though,
Tracy.
No,
that's Steve Dangle for you, sir. That's a Steve Dangle reference.
Excuse me.
Yeah. That's a Dangle reference.
If you're going to hold me to it, I'll say Hurricane for the exact... He's 1,000% save percentage. That's it. But he's still just a weather system. Don't know enough about him.
1,000 save percentage. No further questions at this time.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Zach, what do you think?
Same thing for Martin. Very high tropical storm. Like it's one period, one save, 1,000%.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's no. And yeah, enough. So, okay. On forwards, I'm going in ascending order in terms of points.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean anything other than, you know, lower points probably means less play time, right? So we're going to start with Callahan Burke, who got in one whole game in Colorado and did not register a point. He's nope. the only hurt person on the Hurricanes roster that isn't a goalie who has not scored at least one point this year.
Bailey. Callahan Burke gets... See, I want to judge it off the AHL play because I get to see watch him play all the time. Right. As a Hurricane, you know, I mean... He gets a low tropical storm from me. It wasn't super exciting to watch. That was also a very dominating game from the Avalanche on their part against a very poorly disciplined and playing Canes team at the time.
That West Coast road trip.
Don't even brutal. Get me started. But with his success in the AHL, he had a fantastic game. Last night he gets a high tropical storm from me. He's been playing great.
Yep. I'm with you, and I'm mostly judging it that he didn't get a point in that game, but he didn't look lost. And yeah. and honestly,
he knew
like,
his role.
Yeah. There is a, you know, I know people say, some people like to say like the AHL is not a lesser league or whatever, but talent wise, and I'm sorry, in a lot of ways it is. It's not a slight. It's
a farm team for a reason, but that doesn't make
right.
it any
doesn't
less
make
fun
it bad,
to watch.
Right? Yeah, and so he came in and he played great. Like you said, at the AHL level, you know, a lot of guys, you know, can kick butt at that level and they don't necessarily play well in the NHL level. But he came in, he did his job and filled in nicely. So I give him a tropical storm.
Yeah, he's like that baseball equivalent of the 4A player where he's too good for a AAA, but he's not good enough for the majors. It's kind of like there, you know, there are some guys that are like, you're better for you're better than the AHL, but you're not quite NHL level yet. Right. So yeah.
And I will say he does have Hurricane potential. He spent a lot of this season injured or out for personal reasons, too. So there's a little bit going on behind the scenes there that I haven't heard too much about. But he's fantastic. He's played really, really well in the Avs system. They're developing him well.
Rock on. Tropical storm for me. He fit in. He didn't look out of place. He wasn't a complete mess. That's all you can ask out of one game in a game that was a terrible one, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a terrible.
It was
game,
not pretty.
What? Mm. Yeah, I mean you can't.
I was there in person. Depression. I can.
You can't fault him, right?
Yeah, no, you can't.
Was his fault?
Him, he so, was one of the better players out there. So
yeah.
Storm for me.
All right,
at you, Zach.
Tropical storm. He did his job. You know, I know he didn't get. I think I don't even think he hit double digits in minutes, but he did his job. That's all you really ask for. Yeah. I have a guy who just gets thrown in on a back end of a West Coast trip that was not really a great one to begin with. So,
yeah,
he did the job that he got asked for his one game stint. So
there it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
For me.
Next up,
so
Brad.
This is another guy who, you know, is kind of in that in between, right? He's maybe too good for the AHL in some ways, but he's not quite at the NHL, and that could be the bodies in front of him. Vasily Ponomarev. You know, he comes in, he gets to play two games with the Canes, he gets 2 points, 100% win, winning percentage in the face for a faceoff. So, Bailey,
give this man a hurricane. I love watching this guy play. He's got so much skill, so much on ice awareness. It's unfortunate with how deep the Canes team is. Otherwise, he'd absolutely have a spot on the team.
That center depth is so ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm also giving him a hurricane. In two games, he's 1 point behind Brendan Lemieux in 21 games, and it's a different role. Don't get me wrong, but I just mean, and I know I call him Ponyo with a Y, and I know Travis or somebody called me. He's like, "There's no Y." I'm like, "I know," but Ponyo is a great Studio Ghibli movie. That's why I call him that.
Well, yeah,
it's hurricane for me. Yeah, because I think when he gets up here full time, he could be another Steph Nazan type of player for us, who is going to come up from the Wolves and just start wrecking things. So mm-hmm. Yeah, hurricane for me.
Yeah. And he was hurricane for me, just impact alone, jumping in that first game, man, he looks sensational. Hurricane for me. Zach. Okay.
So for me, this was probably one of the more difficult ones for me to do in terms of guys who've played less than five games for the Hurricanes. And it's very borderline, like he's like almost like 1 foot in, 1 foot out of tropical storm in hurricane for me. I did put him in tropical storm, but like I said, it's like he's got both feet on either side of the line. That's how kind of close it is for me. But no, he's played really well. I mean, I even wrote an article for the Hockey Writers back before, like during training.
Subtle plug.
every time. My point being was, I even said it then, like he was ready to make the roster this season. If he didn't get hurt in camp, he would mm-hmm. have been on the roster. It's just unfortunate. Very late. I think it was the last preseason game where he got hurt and he just, oh no, sorry. That was Suzuki. No, he got hurt like second day of camp. If he didn't get hurt second day at camp and actually was able to go through the preseason and all through the camp and stuff, I think he would have made the roster. And I think I even said it most recently when he played in those two games, I would expect him to be on this roster next season. Like, you can bookmark it now.
Absolutely.
At 1 p.m. on the 20th of January of 2024, he will make the Hurricanes roster for 24-25. But yeah, that's what good I think he is. With the flow, is amazing. But
the flow
yeah.
itself is a hurricane.
Yeah. So that's why for me, like he straddles that tropical storm hurricane line. But, but I did put him in tropical storm. But like I said, it's that close that he's in both. That's
See, if you were a co-host, you could call him a tropical stormicane or something. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he's like a very low grade category one. We'll
call he's a cat one, right?
He's a cat one. But yeah, no, I'm so excited for this guy. And he's the dominant 92. Although 92s don't exist anymore.
He is my preferred 92 for sure.
No, there's a what other 92 no we're talking about here. There's no other 92s. It's Ponyo and that's it. I'm sorry.
So we're starting to get into like the day to day guys, right? These are really your 23 man roster, guys who are really with the club. Brendan Lemieux, Bailey.
He gets a low tropical storm from me. And I'll leave that at that. Interpret that how you will.
Yeah, that's fine. This one was a hard one for me. And I kind of went back and forth and I ended up calling him a tropical storm. And I almost called him a hurricane. Not because his contributions are necessarily, winning us a bunch of games, but that's not his role, right? His role was to come in on the fourth line, to sit in the press box, mind his manners, come in, stand up for his teammates. And he's done that pretty well with, the thing that really made me think of tropical storm and not hurricane, where he could be better, is he does have 40 penalty minutes. But that's also expected. It's Brendan Lemieux, right? That's kind of why you bring him in there. So I don't know. I think he's done fine. He's definitely better than I expected him to be. But, would I rather have Ponomarev in that slot? 100%. And that makes him a tropical storm.
Yeah, tropical storm for me. I would have put him in a hurricane for the way he chuck knuckles there a couple of times, straighten a few guys out. Mm-hmm. When you're throwing mitts and doing what you need to do, that's great. But Tropical Storm, I mean, he's chipped in where he can. He comes in and he does his job, and it's decent. And he hasn't bitten anyone yet. So I guess that's
good. That's a plus. That's something to look forward to.
That's enough to keep, you know, had he decided to, you know, expand his menu and start trying out a few other flavors in the league, we would have put him in, you know, depression. But,
you know, we made it this far. Yeah. He's still got half a season to prove us wrong.
True enough. It's like I'm baiting him. Zach, go ahead.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, as long as he's on the same ice as Brady Tkachuk, I think he'll be all right in terms of that. But no, I put him at Tropical Storm, like, for the fact that he knows his role, he's fine with it. He's sounds like everyone likes him in the locker room. He does his job. He stays right. Every time he's asked to be called upon, he does a great job, does his, you know, he mucks it up a little bit, but he does it to where it's not detrimental to the team. It's more of like he's there to stick up for the guys, get the vibe, get everyone kind of loose and ready to go, and just, you know, like, hey, you know, we're still in this one. And he fights the right time. He doesn't just fight just to fight. Like, he does it when it's necessary. So, yeah, I put him as a Tropical Storm. I think he's done great when he's called upon. Now, going back to what Brad said about, would you rather have Pano in? Yeah, but I feel like where Lemieux is in terms of he's just a guy to be called upon, I'd rather have Panamarov with Chicago to get actual ice time instead of just having him kind of be that. You might
get you don't want him to
Panamarov's not the kind of guy to spend time eating in the press box. So.
Exactly. That, yeah, like if we're talking about that specific role, like you're the 13th forward, I'd rather have Brendan Lemieux be that 13th forward and have Panamarov be in the AHL getting some ice time and doing what he's doing down there and putting pucks in the net and stuff like that. So for what Brendan Lemieux's role is as the 13th forward, to come in when someone's ill or injured or be like, hey, we might need you to muck it up, there's the guy to do it with. So, yeah.
No. Jack Drury can't do it all the time, right?
No.
I cannot wait to talk about Jack Drury, though.
On the way to Jack Drury, Brett Pesce.
I thought we're doing forwards.
Oh, I'm just going through everybody. I just went from least points to most points. Skaters.
Okay.
So, and yeah, this is what I thought might be a little all over the place. So, I don't know, Bailey.
Go ahead, Bailey.
I don't want to do it.
The bubble.
Look at that.
The thumbs down bubble.
That was funny how that bubble came up right there.
I didn't even mean to do it.
That was so, it was perfect. You're like, I don't want to do this. And the bubble just popped up with the down thumb. That actually worked out perfectly.
It's like a Band-Aid, Bailey. It's better to just grip it and rip it.
Rip it.
Yeah, grip it and rip it.
This guy's got so much potential, but he's just not living up to my expectations at the current moment. I don't want to give him a depression, but if I could give him a low tropical storm, that's where he'd be.
Yeah. Fair. Absolutely fair, Brad.
I'm going to give him depression in part because we don't have many, and to rank them all tropical storms is probably not unfair. He's in 40 games, he's got 7 points, which is two behind D'Angelo, who's played half as many games. Now, granted, you know, TA's job is to score points. He really hasn't done that on the power play, which is why he's not playing. Pesce is a guy who I've always said, when you don't hear his name, it means he's doing his job well. And it's not that he's been bad this year, but he's been off for a good chunk of the year. And some nights he's fine, and then some nights I'm like, okay, wait, what are you doing? I don't get it. So I think he needs to be better.
The thing is, too, is even before he had his ankle issues or lower body issues earlier in the season, there wasn't much of a change before and after. Mm-hmm. And so I like with some of the guys on this team that I may use this excuse for going forward. Can't blame the injury. Can't blame the time off on this too. I honestly think and maybe this is high speculation too, but this is a contract year for him. He's looking into potentially getting a contract with the Canes. He wants to get paid, and he's not earning it. He doesn't look like Brett Pesce of years past. And part of me wants to make it so like, yeah, he's taking a hometown deal and trying to get less so he can stay with the Canes, whatever. call a spade. He's not been.
Well, and if you look at the stat cards that you see on the Hockey Stat Cards on Twitter or whenever I post them and stuff like that, unfortunately, you do see him kind of towards the very bottom with the offense and defense kind of going to the left, which is not good because that's the more negative side of things. So yeah, he's been kind of farther down and more to the left on the analytic of stat cards, which is not really what you want to see out of your second line right D.
Who's on a contract year.
Yeah. With his pairing partner. So
yeah, he's not making his agent's job very easy. I have him as a depression for the same reason Bailey said there's an expectation and he's just not playing at that level right now. And until he does, that's where he is. It's that simple. I'm not sure where you are, Zach, but
I got him just like Bailey, a very low tropical storm, like towards the bottom of the list. I try not to give guys depressions. I'm going to say right now, my list is like very small on the depression side of things, because I think there are guys who are having the greatest of seasons, but when they do have points where they come up clutch and their play has done enough to where it's like, okay, you're in the tropical storm, you're not in a depression set. So a lot of the guys are in that storm, varying levels of tropical storm. But I agree with Bailey. It's on the lower end of the tropical storm. It's just contract year, you're not doing the greatest. It's like I said, comparing it to a contract season where your D partner is putting up points and basically being the guy who we all thought he could be, it's very tough. I would love for Brett to stay, but it's just tough to see where a guy who's been a lifer so far, you want him to win a cup with this team and stay long term. It's tough when you're watching him kind of not being the guy that we're used to seeing, who was at one point paired with Jacob Slavin, and those two together were lights out at one point.
Go ahead,
Brian. Tony. I'm gonna use his actual name, Tony D'Angelo.
can I go first with this one?
He still has no D, but
we can go backwards with this one.
Yeah, go for it, Zach. It's actually easier for me to get these down the way I'm doing it, so order can be whatever people want to jump in. It's fine.
He's the only tropical depression I have on this entire team. Point blank, he is a 1.62. It was a 1.62 contract that doesn't need to be on this contract. And I know a lot of his guys on his followers on Twitter, whatever, are going to be upset about it. And it's not because
they don't listen to the show, sir.
Good. I've said a million times, it's not him as a person. It's him as a player. It's the power play has been lights out since he's not been in it very much. They've gone away from the quarterback. It's not a quarterback that the power play needed. They just needed to move around. Just move, net front presence, and just stop standing there, move the bodies around with the puck, and get it's the off puck movement that's really come up clutch recently, and that's what they needed. Stop standing still. You don't need a quarterback. He's a guy who's getting healthy scratched almost the whole season. He's not done much when he was on the power play. He's just an extra scratch body that honestly, I'd rather have Dylan Coughlin on the team as the seventh D man, because he's killing it in Springfield. And where he's just down there because we have too many defensemen right now. It's not hitting on him as a person. It's just as a player, he's just a body that we don't need, that we could have put that 1.6 to someone else.
That's fantastic. And so I'll go next. I have him as a tropical depression as well. And having him on at that price affects my rating for the front office, which we will get to later. It affects it greatly because of him. I could give a rat's hiney about his politics, his personal, whatever. I always wanted him to just put up and shut up is what I wanted from him. But they brought him back for no reason. He's just a terrible defenseman. That's why he doesn't have a D in Brad's. When Brad calls him out, there is no D. He's TA because there is no D. And I don't know how else to explain it. There it is.
Go ahead, Bailey.
I'm trying to find the right analogy to use here. He, I don't know why I want to call him a pimple, but he is. He is like the recurring pimple that you get on like the inside of your nose that'll go away and then come back.
Yeah, that's
the worst. And it gets so annoying. And when you like go to like scratch it, it like leaves it, what residue, whatever, unnecessarily. That is Tony D'Angelo. I think he has his moments where he can put up and help the team. But again, calling a spade, this is a tropical depression for me. He is a defenseman for a reason. He is no Erik Karlsson when it comes to being an offensive defenseman, where he can at least contribute in both zones of the ice. And I'll leave that at that.
No surprise, he's a depression for me. You know, yeah, that's the people who are huge TA fans are typically probably not our target audience. I just said very nice things about his old, you know, podcast partner, Brendan Lemieux. It's not about his politics. I don't like his politics, but that's not what I'm grading him on. I'm grading him on because he's terrible at hockey. My gosh.
He got healthy scratched on the Flyers last season with Torts. Like, that should really
seem. That also goes to show, too, some of the chemistry there, too, because Torts did not like him. So there is that.
The one time I agree with, but that I think Torts is not overreacting, right?
Right.
Yeah.
they bring in D'Angelo. They pair him with Slavin, who basically has to cover him the whole year, and he has a great offensive year. And instead of recognizing that they caught lightning in a bottle, and letting him go, which they, you know, let him go to the Flyers, they said, oh, we can skimp out and maybe get that back.
Then
they overpay him, right? It should have been league minimum. I'm sorry. You don't give $1.6 million to a guy that nobody's going to hire. And if he doesn't want to play for that, then he can go to McDonald's. I don't care. Huge overpay.
And the fact,
go ahead,
the
Bailey. Go ahead, Zach. Whoever.
I was going to say, it got to the point where in bringing him on, it really started to logjam us at that position. Like, I don't know if you guys remember going into training camp where we had like 7 or 8 left-handed defensemen alone, but just trying to find places for all of them. Tony D'Angelo was
We had to lose Caleb Jones in a trade too.
Yeah, which he's sitting as a 7th defenseman with the Avalanche right now too. So there's that. Yeah. It was a signing that was confusing. It was unnecessary. I think he's using up $1.6 million in cap that could potentially, I'd love to see it used in a trade if other teams could find that they need help with an offensive defenseman and they have a very defensively minded defenseman who will complement him well.
If they need somebody who looks good in a suit in the press box eating popcorn, we have your guy.
Here's my thing too, that it's kind of like it happened because of trying to get him back the first time where they tried to trade for him. The league said no, you had to wait. So that deal fell through. Then they had to, in good faith, still make a trade with Philadelphia to be like, hey, sorry, this didn't work out because of this, this, and this. We'll trade you a player in good faith because that trade fell through, and the fact that they gave up they gave up Rizzo for nothing. Because I don't even remember who the guy we even
I love Massimo Rizzo.
Who was it? It was the dude's brother. He was he's the guy who played one game for us last year and basically was out of concussion protocol the whole time. Kasha's brother.
David Kasha.
I don't even know what's going on with that. I've heard nothing about that since. The fact we give a Massimo Rizzo in a good faith trade because the original TDA trade didn't work out. We lost a player who's killing it right now in Denver because we had to make up with Philadelphia for a trade that fell through for that guy. I'm sorry. It's just he gave up $1.6 million to re-sign him back and had to give up a good prospect in a good faith trade.
Yeah. It was lose-lose all around, as far as I'm concerned. It was just
100%. Like I said, it's not because of him as a person. It's him as a player that all of that hard, that work to get him back cost us a player and money that could have went somewhere else.
Fair.
Close the book all on right. that one.
Moving on. Jasper Fast. Oh, go ahead, Jerry.
No, I was just saying on to bigger and better.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on to more fun things, right? Yeah, Jasper Fast.
Bailey, what do you think?
Jesper gets... What are his points at, can I ask?
Yeah, he 5 goals, 7 assists for 12 points. He's a negative one. And 2.7... Oh, I'm sorry, not 2.7. That'd be awesome. 0.27 points per game.
9.6 shooting percentage, too.
Given the expectations he gave us at the end of last season, Jesper Fast is going to get a high tropical depression from me.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right.
Brad?
Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, okay. I'll go ahead. For me, I have him as he's coming out of depression. Like, he's ascending. He is tropical storm on the very bottom. Ascending. He's getting better.
He absolutely is. Yeah.
He is absolutely getting better, but he has struggled nowhere near what he was last year. Yep. A very, very low.
It's another one of those expectation type deals for me.
100%. That's the way it is for me too.
I think so, because of him, it's because of Rod moving him up and down the roster a lot. Like, we've seen him on second, third, and fourth.
He hasn't had the consistent line mates like he did last season, which I think contributes to it a lot.
Right, and he was also after concussion as well. Yep. So it's kind of like one of the fact that with how good the J line is with the Jordans and Jarvis, at this point you can't break up that third line with the Jays. They're playing absolutely lights out hockey right now. And honestly, I think Fast with Drury and Lemieux as of late has been going really well and stuff like that. And now with Svechback, it's Nason, Drury, and Fast, which honestly, that's a great, the Chicago Wolves guys with Fast, I think they do a pretty good job as a fourth line. I have them as a low tropical storm, but it's just due to the fact that it's him getting moved around a lot and being hurt with that concussion too. And the outside circumstances of the fact of that J line with now Jarvis with those guys, it's a line that's really opened up for the fact that you got a guy like Martinuk and Jarvis who open up the play, a lot of hustle, setting themselves up. It's tough to put Foss back on that third line when those three together are playing lights out. So for me, it's Foss is a tropical storm, and it's not because of he's on low expectations. It's just line blending and being hurt kind of just – and other guys just catching fire on a new line setup is just kind of put him in a weird spot.
Yeah.
Brad, what do you think?
I went back and forth a little bit about this because I was on that depression storm border myself. And it's not fair to Jasper Fast, but when they moved Jarvis to the third line, I had like Nino flashbacks. I'm like, man, that was so good. And Fast was kind of that replacement, right? So it's not necessarily fair of me to compare him to Nino, but that's what he gave us for a year, right? And then, you know, he's kind of settled. To me, he's kind of a low tropical storm. He can play better. I think he's doing a better job on the fourth line. They're not really scoring goals, but at least they're keeping the puck out of the net, and that's a big deal. So, he's a low tropical storm to me. We know he can play better. I just want to see him play better, right?
There it is.
Jalen Chatfield.
Oh, man.
This man.
I'm going to jump in. Hurricane, through and through. On speed alone. And he covered Orlov while Orlov was playing as a double agent for another team. Mm-hmm. Chatfield, honestly, I'm telling you, sensational. Sign him. Keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing. Speed alone. He is hurricane.
I'll hop in second here. He's a hurricane to me, and not because of the limited points that he might be putting up, but he's playing his role. He's doing what he needs to do. He is doing what I believe Rod Brind'Amour is asking of him. He's doing what Canes fans are expecting of him. We don't expect him to be a point per game type defenseman. He plays really strongly in the neutral zone. He plays really good defensive zone hockey. And I think that's really all you need out of a guy like Jalen Chatfield. So he gets a Hurricane from me.
Zach.
He's like Pano. He's on that 1 foot on either side of the line, but I did put him as a tropical storm. And it's not based on points and stuff like that. It's just I'm not figuring out how to word this. His speed and his defensive play is amazing and stuff like that. Would I like to see a little bit more of the production points wise we saw of him last year? Yes. But like I said, he's on that line. Like, he could be in Hurricane. It's just, I want to see just a tick more, but it's not because of, like I said, it's not because of points and stuff like that. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to describe it. Like, why?
You know, when you see it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When you see it, you'll know. So it's, that's where I'm kind of at with him. He's like right on that line with both feet on either side.
Perfect. Brad.
I am as a Hurricane, like as president of the Jalen Chatfield fan club. when I saw him play in the Calder Cup, I'm like, oh yeah, he's going to be in Carolina next year. He's going to stick. And it's not just the wheels, right? He makes smart decisions. He's not putting a bunch of, you know, pucks in the net. But in my mind, Chatfield Orlov is better defensively this year than Shea Pesci.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, you could say that that's your real second line, you know, your second D pair, and make a very strong argument for that.
The thing is,
it's taken a while, right? But
when it's taken a while, and I feel like they're finally getting to the point where they both complement each other really, really well. And we signed Orlov for what I saw to be kind of a big deal. He was one of the bigger guys on the market once free agency opened up. And on paper, he was a great guy in the beginning of the season. If I could have gotten him out, I absolutely would have. Like, that's what I kind of saw out of him. And seeing the chemistry that they built up now that they have consistent line mates, Tony D'Angelo is not drawing in as much to kind of take Jalen Chatfield's spot. They've both been playing lights out. They complement each other so well. If Chatfield finds an opportunity to go up, Orlov sees it and he's like, go, kid, go. And I love seeing that out of defensive pairs where all they do is kind of build that up and you're not losing anything from either side.
Yep. Yeah. It was criminal that he sat in the press box to start the season, quite frankly.
It was.
I mean, no reason to. That's why I said a $1.6 million contract that kind of hurt a defensive pair that should have been together since game one.
Right. How much further would Orlov be, I think?
A lot farther. If
Chatfield was there, and B, if the posts were like half an inch wider.
He would not he would not be -8 right now. His point total would be up a little bit more, and he wouldn't be as a negative because they were bleeding on that third pair.
Those -8 is not because of his play, right?
No, it's one of those, the number doesn't match the style of play. It's just the unfortunate start to a season that kind of hindered him a little bit. That's 100%. Not out of his doing.
The captain, Jordan Staal.
I'll jump in first on this one. It's gonna sound awful. It's expectations, low tropical storm for me. Jordan struggled so mightily at the start as he is rising. But he's rising because of Jarvis. If the lineup is not the same as it was at the start of the season, he struggled so mightily and was making some bonehead errors. Like, it was like, where is Jordan Staal? Someone's kidnapped him and replaced him with something. It's not him. He is getting better, though.
Jordan Stahl with 1A instead of 2s.
Yeah, maybe. Hey,
it's Jared Stahl, not Jordan. It's Jared. Yeah,
maybe that's what it was. It's hard to say. Look, he's still winning his face-offs. He's still doing everything, but I have him as a low tropical storm that is ascending, not descending. He is getting better. He is bringing it all together. It's harsh, but it is what it is.
I have him as a tropical storm too. And I had a discussion today with, I think it was Taylor or something like that. It's as long as you're doing your job and it goes just beyond the score sheet, because Rod said this all the time. And even Mike and Shane have talked about this too. It's a guy like Jordan Stahl is not someone who you're going to see on the score sheet every night, but as long as he's doing his job of winning faceoffs, shutting down the other team's best players and stuff like that, you are doing your job. And a lot of guys around the league have said it is impossible to play against Jordan Stahl because he will put you in his back pocket and stuff like that. Now, granted, yes, he had a not so great start to the season, like what Ray said, but he's gotten better as the season's gone along. And I have always liked Jordan Stahl, even when he was here. I have a Jordan Stahl jersey from the original Hurricanes jerseys before they went to the knockoff Red Wings. And it's got an A on the chest. Wow. And that's how old we're talking. That's Jordan Stahl. We're talking like 2008 Stahl jersey, 2009. I've always liked him. His play's always been good. It's a slow year, but he's gotten better as the season's gone along, and he's doing his job. Face-offs, shutting guys down. It's like, and he's had some big goals in the back half of the first part of the season. So yeah, I have him at more of like the. It's in between. It's in the, like that getting closer to the middle tropical storm range. So he's not the low end, but he's not in the middle, but he's getting closer to the middle of the tropical storm range for me.
Bailey?
He's going to get a tropical storm from me. It's for a lot of the reasons Zach said. He's a guy that, no, you're not going to expect him to put a point up every night, but you're looking at him for his faceoffs. You're looking at him for his neutral zone play to be that shut down before they enter the zone. You're looking at some of the two-way perks that he brings to the team. But at the same time, I think he is struggling a bit compared to years past, I think. And there's a lot that he's done to step up this season, especially after the players only meeting happened. And I know there was a lot of kind of animosity around the fan community regarding how great of a decision another contract is for him. But I think he's stepped up and he's doing his job. And so that's why he gets a mid-tier tropical storm for me.
Brad, what do you think?
Probably the same. I don't know that I would call him ascending on my list. He's playing better than he was. He's still winning about 60 or like 57, I think 0.4 or something like that percent of his faceoffs. But he's not winning some of these crucial faceoffs that in the past we could rely on him for. Overtime faceoffs, offensive zone, late game faceoff, power. Some of those, he's not getting those. You know, maybe that's just the competition's getting better. Maybe Jordan's getting, you know, a step older, step slower. So he's not playing terribly. But yeah, to me, he has improved over the course of the season. And now he's kind of plateaued and he's kind of in that. And with Jarvis on that line, it seems to be coming around, but it's more Martinook to me than Stahl. Stahl is kind of the not the odd man out on that line because he's not playing, you know, bad, but the other two guys are driving that line. And Stahl kind of feels like he's, you know, along for the ride a bit, which he's been around a long time. So if he can conserve some energy and, you know, we keep winning games and save it for the playoffs, totally okay with that. But yeah, there's more there. Like even at his age, there's, you know, I think there's more there. So
there you go.
His line mate is next, Jordan Martinook.
Zach, you want to start this one off?
Here we go. Yes, we should let you.
Before I get burned and chirped, I have him all season. I've had him in Tropical Storm. Slower start to the season than we would think about for the way he ended his, you know, in the playoffs and stuff like that. And of course, you know, Jordan Martinook is a guy who through every season is not someone who's going to, you know, kind of be up towards the top of the point list for the team and stuff like that. But he's been doing his job. Yeah, he hasn't been on the score sheet, but he has asked to shut down guys like we expect him to do and stuff like that. His hustle's insane. It's crazy. Like, you look at when you see the Hurricanes posting like speed bursts and like guys who are fast, and you're like, wait, Jordan Martinook is that fast? He is that fast, which is surprising. And his mom, we have to say this, she's the greatest. Wendy Martinook is just absolutely wonderful.
We love Wendy.
Honestly, that whole mom's trip and all the videos they've been dropping has basically been like a serotonin boost going into this break. And it's just a perfect timing for the mom's trip. A three-game winning streak. The moms came into town. You go into the break with just all the serotonin boost. I'm here for it. I can live on those videos for the rest of the season. That's just how great it's been. But like, Martinook has always been in the tropical storm for me. I think he's getting towards the top end of tropical storm because he's on a absolute monster tear. Like, I think he's got like 6 goals this month, which I think is absolutely insane. I don't think it leads the team for the month. I could be wrong on that, but yeah, he's kicked into gear. Like the goal streak that he was on, the point streak. Yeah. For me, he is almost toward the top end of the tropical storm, but he's been in that range all season. But he's on the higher end of it now just because of this start to 2024. It has been absolutely wonderful to see out of this guy.
All right. Who's next here?
I'll go. Just okay. To piggyback. So he has 6 goals leading the team for January. He's 1 ahead of Svech, which
there you
is
go.
I have him as a Hurricane. And not just because he ended up getting the game winner in Boston and I got to jeer the Bruins fans. No, the 17,000 and change over there. Martinook is a guy who I wanted to move for a while because I just didn't feel like he was given enough, right? He just, for a third line guy, didn't see it. Then it comes out, maybe he was actually injured for a very long time in Carolina. He was able to heal up. Then we can see what he can do last year, right? He goes absolutely ham against New Jersey. And when he does things like that, that's above and beyond my expectations for him. And that's how this last month has been for me. Like, you know, Zach pointed out like the 6 goals, right? Like he's doing everything that I want him to do, but he's actually going above what I expect of him. And so I think he's playing at a Hurricane level for his position. So I'm very happy with Martinook right now.
That again, Seth Jarvis on that line. I'm telling you, man, that J line is absolutely killing it.
It absolutely is. Bailey, have you chimed in already for him? I'm losing track already.
I have not.
It's my age. Okay, Bailey, good.
Go. He's getting a tropical storm from me. Point blank, he's not playing awfully. He again is one of those guys. He's doing his job. Somebody that the older guys can kind of, or the younger guys can kind of lean on, for certain aspects. And he steps up when he needs to, and he has those opportunities. And I think adding Jarvis to that line and kind of flipping that line kind of on its head a little bit has done him a little bit of good since the start of the season. With that said, I think there's a lot more potential there. And I think there's a lot more that we could see from him that we're not. And I personally would like to see a little bit of that. And I think we will moving into the season or rest of the season, given the way that the team has been performing as of late.
Yeah, for me, he is an ascending into Hurricane right at the very top of the tropical storms for puck retrieval. He's a madman. He's scoring goals. He is the Flava Flav of this team, the ultimate hype man. I love everything about him, the energy he brings. On my appreciation of him, he is a Hurricane, but I do know he had the slow start, but he is ascending now. He's found his place and he is firing on all cylinders. Love him to death. He is ascending a half step from being in the Hurricane level. I'm with you though, Brad. I mean, he's just fantastic through and through.
Love him. So this is another one where I wasn't quite sure where people would land on, because you can kind of go a lot of ways here. But Dmitry Orlov, he picked the right time to put one on the right side of the
to make
the
a second
post,
guess
right?
this decision. Yeah.
I'm going to go because what I said, I think, on social media last night was, you know, it's like the scene from Days of Thunder where they're like, oh, look, there's a side we ain't got to fix. And then, you know, Robert Duvall's character kicks it and goes, I don't want you getting lazy. Orlov scores an amazing game winner. He
bar
still puts it
down.
He still puts a Bardowski off the post as well to just not make his life easy. I don't know, but he's a tropical storm for me. The issues I've seen with Orlov this year, and I had to really think about this because he's making $7 million. Like, for $7 million, you need to produce.
Absolutely.
And what I decided to rate him was I was only going to rate him since he's been paired up consistently with Chatfield. And since then, he's been fine. He hasn't been great. He's not been $7 million, so there's definitely room for improvement.
Right.
But those guys are at least consistent in their defense.
Mm-hmm.
And for defensemen, that's what I want first, is keep the puck out of your own net. And then for $7 million, you should also be scoring goals. And he's starting to do that, right? He's got 3 goals, but he's got 14 assists. And if I recall, I think most of those are 5-on-5. Like, he really, yeah, he only has 3 power play points. So he's doing what I thought he would do. People call me crazy. They're like, oh, he played on the point in Boston and in Washington. I'm like, yeah, but he gets points 5v5. I know he plays, you know, the power play in those cities, but that's not where his points were coming from. And so I think we're starting to see he's hit like 5 posts in January. Like, he could easily have 10 goals.
He's trying.
Right. Like, so I think at some point he's going to make a little stick adjustment or something. Things are going to start going in. And, you know, as long as it happens, you know, late April into May and June, I'm a happy camper. So he's a tropical storm for me, mostly because of his contract, and he needs to live up to that contract. But I am happy with his overall performance.
Maybe this all-star break will kick start something. Who knows? I'm going to step in next. Call this a tropical storm for me as well, for a lot of the same reasons. The one thing I will say, though, is I don't think production always has to equivalent to something on the score sheet. We brought a guy like Dmitry Orlov in to add some grit, some gusto, some physicality to the team, which is something that's been lacking in the Rod Brind'Amour system. And honestly, I think he's lost some of that and started adapting very, very well to the Rod Brind'Amour system, which is both a blessing and a curse. He's a guy who you expect him to throw the body, and that's what we brought him in to do. You brought him in to get on the nerves of the guys you're playing against. And honestly, I've been a little disappointed with that aspect of things. For a guy who's making $7 million, of course you want him to produce. You want him to get those assists, at least, if not, you know, score those awesome blue line goals that you're expecting, goals from the point. I hate to keep using the expectations word, but it's just he's not doing what we brought him in to do, which is why he gets a tropical storm from me.
Yeah, we haven't seen a hip check in like weeks. I mean, kind of one last night, but like, he hasn't, like, just, you know, open.
He's
ice
not the Dmitry Orlov that he used to be.
Yeah. And that's what we kind of want. Right. Maybe.
Right, yeah.
Saving it for the playoffs. I don't know.
So I'm going to jump in. And again, you guys all have the camera, so you can see me. I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. Okay.
It's on the couch next to him.
That's right. He is ascending out of depression. He is still depression, ascending out of it. Look, he is not the Dmitry Orlov $7 million in the preseason that we were expecting. He has struggled mightily. He's not scoring. He is injured two of our players and put them out for quite some time, both Natchez, and he was responsible for the PK concussion. He was responsible, not the Anaheim Duck who was traveling through, who would have missed him if not for Orlov checking him into Kochetkov's head. So, look, he's he's coming out of it. The goal was bar down. Oh my gosh, that was a beautiful goal. And it came from a great place. And that's why he's ascending out of depression for me. But sorry, that's where he's at. He's coming out of it, though. He's coming out of it.
Zach, yeah.
Low end tropical storm. Contracts not matching the productivity that we were expecting.
There you go. Yeah. Moving along.
So these probably start getting a little easier now, right? We're starting to get higher up the point chain, you know, a little farther of the food chain as well. And I'm not saying these all be like, oh yeah, these are all great, but like, I think at least it's a little easier maybe to start pick out here. Next up is Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Zach. It's
okay, Zach.
I got him as a tropical storm, and I've seen a lot of slander about him for the good majority of the back half of this first half of the season. It's not about the points, and we bring this up a lot with all these guys, it's not about the point production. He's doing his job that he's asked of, is to get better faceoffs, which he has, and his play. I think it's a lot of his line mates have not been the same all season. As you've seen it a million times, and he's like, oh, well, he's better. He's more of a fourth line center. Oh, he's finally down there. Maybe he needs to kind of pick it up, or we need to get rid of him, blah, 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 blah. His line mates have not been consistent all season. We've seen multiple different guys be on either side. I honestly, Nietzsche was one of the reasons why he hasn't played well for the most part, because Nietzsche was doing passes to no one. Kotkaniemi had to play more defense because his linemates weren't doing their jobs. It's one of those things where he's getting put in quicksand and put in bad spots because his linemates aren't usually there. And I think that's the problem where, and all I see is, oh, his points are bad. His points are bad. Oh, he was on a hot start. Now his points are bad. His points were good because he was on consistent linemates, and then the guys around him started to fall off. So he had to do more than just what he's supposed to do on the points sheet. And that's why I say production off the point sheet also matters outside of just points. Points can go so far. But he's not doing a bad job in terms of he's doing his job to shut down guys and be that two-way, that Jordan Staal 2.0 that we've all said he could be and which he can be. It's just, unfortunately, if he wasn't a third overall pick, I think people would give him less grief. Because, oh, he was a third overall pick. He should be lighting the sheet up. That's just unfortunate. The team who should not be named did not give him the benefit of the doubt to get
nice
better.
Catch.
Yes. and it's just one of those things where the inconsistent line mates and just that he's had to do more than what in the last couple months than what we're supposed to expect. It's hurt him more than, oh, he's bad, or he's not living up to his contract, or he's not good. He's good. It's just he's had zero help. So the slander of Kotkaniemi all over Kane's Twitter timelines need to take a back seat.
What's he at point-wise?
He is at 18 points, 9 goals, 9 assists.
He's a guy making just under $5 million.
He's at 4.2, 4.3, something like that. Let me check.
I have cap friendly. Hold on. 4.820.
Okay,
so 4.8. Yeah. So he's a guy making just under $5 million, and he's kind of showing that. Yes, it's a little on the lower side for me. I don't think it's his fault. Again, Zach nailed it on the head. I think the inconsistency in line mates has really kind of brought his production down a little bit, kind of gotten him in a little bit of a funk. I don't think hope is lost on him. I think he has the ability to pick it up. So I'm going to say he's an ascending tropical storm for me.
I have him as a tropical storm for every reason that Zach and Bailey have laid out. That's all that needs to be said. Brad, I think
he's a tropical storm for me, for all the reasons you guys have said. The biggest thing for me is we are not fans of the team who should not be named. We did not draft him third overall. We should not have that expectation. What we have locked up is, in my opinion, when Jordan Staal retires, a long-term third pair defenseman who is doing all the things that you want from a third pair defense, or I said defenseman.
I was going to say
center. He does nothing that a third line. Yeah, a third line center, right? he's doing all the things that you would want Jordan to do for the right amount of money. And if the NHL gave third assists, if there were tertiary assists, he'd have like 40 points.
Yeah.
I mean, over and over, I see he does something. He goes in the corner. He gets the puck. He gets it out. Bing, bang, boom, it's in the net. He doesn't get the credit for it. If they had tertiary assists, he would have some, right?
He is a playmaker through and through and through.
Stop acting like points are the end all be all to how good a player is.
Sure, you want more points, but sometimes the roles differ.
Context. Right. Time on ice in context.
And as part of, you know, now that they've moved the Drury line up to second and they've kind of dropped KK line down to the fourth line and changed those minutes around, they're shutting down the opponents. That's can't ask anymore of this guy.
Doing their job.
Unfortunately, KK's in a spot where he's a third line center, but we have a third line center who's Jordan Staal.
Right. Yeah.
That's all really that. Right. And you can't put him on the fourth because he's better than the fourth line center. And unfortunately, second line is a little bit higher expectations. So he's just put in a circumstance where
which he can do when he's on, but when he's not on, it's fine. It's, you know, an actual defenseman, Jacob Slavin, is up next.
Hurricane
next.
Yeah, honestly, the best
cornerstone
in the league.
Cornerstone franchise guy.
Man has not only been as shut down as you can get as a defensive defenseman this season, but he's putting up points. Yeah. He's doing things that are offensive, and I love it.
Top three in shorthanded goals.
Yeah,
star defensive defenseman.
Put that on your bingo card. Yeah, no, cornerstone franchise guy. He's a UFA after next season. Lock him up.
Hurricane for life.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah, his jersey will be in the rafters someday.
No question.
100%. And that little banner Bailey's got behind her. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to get number 74 of that if they ever make those again.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Another Chicago boy, Jackie Boy Drury, Captain America.
Mr. Harvard himself.
Hurricane for me. He's a hurricane.
Mm-hmm. Hurricane. Absolutely. If I could give Cats, he's on the lower end, but he's making a name for himself. He's getting points. He's showing that he's done with the AHL. He's done with the development league. He has what it takes to become an NHLer and be a consistent point getting NHLer. It's unfortunate that he and Nason are not playing consistent line minutes together anymore because they were a force to be reckoned with. Yeah. I think they played phenomenally together and they really complemented each other well. Jack could kind of do what he wanted to do at the points, at the hash marks, and Nason's there providing that net front presence that he needs to kind of help Jack Drury succeed. Hurricane.
Yeah. He's been on fire. He's scoring goals at a crazy rate.
To Bailey's point, Drury and Nason together drove this team for like a few weeks. Like without them, you know, people were panicking as it was. Like without those two drive and play for a few weeks, like it would have been so much worse, right? I'm also a Hurricane. I'm a big fan of Jax. I think some people were down on him maybe last year because the expectation that they had, once again, you know, that you guys keep alluding to was so high. And when I saw him, I said, look, this guy is a great fourth line, third line, probably guy. He's not going to be a top six guy, but you can't have, you know, a dozen top six guys. It doesn't work. Like we have seven and we're having problems fitting them all in. So I think Drury's really come into his own this season. He's willing to stick up for his teammates against guys much bigger than him. You know, he's everything you could ask for.
He was about to throw mitts. Well, when he did throw mitts, that made him a hurricane in my mind immediately, just like that.
It's a rite of passage.
it's almost right, but he just willing to stand up and do it. And he just saw what needed to be done and he did it. And it was great. And his play. Oof.
Hey, Brad, one quick thing. If you don't know this, but on Fantasy, they have him and Capron, they have him listed as a center left wing. Here's my thing for next season, real quick, just to kind of put it out there.
Yeah.
Nason Drury on the wings, Pano in the center.
I'm all for
Wolves line.
I would be down for that.
Inject it straight into my
I am going to manifest. I'm going to manifest a Chicago Wolves line of Pano in the middle, Jack on the left, Nason on the right, because Nason can play both wings. There's your Chicago. There's your Wolves line. Wolves.
If that was your fourth line, I would be so incredibly happy with something like that.
Andrew Rinaldi is foaming at the mouth.
And by fourth, I mean fourth, third, second. Basically, if that's air not your top
fourth.
Line.
Then, air quotes, yeah. air quotes yeah. fourth line. Yeah, but you put Jury, Nason, Pano in the middle. That line would feast with a capital F.
Our next player is one of two remaining that I think we might see some different answers. The last two, like home runs, right? These are kind of easy. This is one of two players remaining that I don't know how people will necessarily go. Brady Shea.
Tropical storm.
Storm for me.
High end.
Storm.
High end tropical storm.
This is or I'm dead wrong. it's like the secondary year of Brady Shea or third year of Brady Shea, if that's what we want to use Twitter terms for.
Shout out Can Stats.
I think his point production's not where it was. He's not playing like he wants a paycheck. It being a contract year for me.
Yeah, just like his pair partner, bottom of the stack card to the left, a lot more than usual. But he has picked it up.
Yep.
I'll give him credit. He has picked it up. But yeah, the start of the year was not great for that second pair.
No, I think he's I was going to say I think he's picked it up on the power play. That's been like one of the bright spots in his play. Defensively, that partnership has not been as good. To me, they're more the third pair. Yeah. But on the power play. It was proof, right? You don't need a quarterback. You move Svechnikov across the ice. You get the guy's bodies in motion, and now the power play is number one since December 1st or whatever. Nuts. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, and just very quickly, the one thing about Shea and Pesci is on the worst. If you look at the worst games that the Canes have played, you'll see that it's Pesci and Shea that struggle the most in the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? When they're great, there's no problem. But when the team is awful, you look at their stats and you'll see it's right at the bottom. Terrible, awful, minus 1,000. Like, honestly.
You can normally look at their stats and know how the game went.
Yeah. Exactly. That's my thought. But he's got so much talent. He's got a great flow too. The little whiff of gray. Oh my god!
He's taking after Roddy.
Lovely. Moving on.
A man who may not have great hair or gray hair, not great hair, gray hair. Brent Burns.
Burnsy. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I think you skipped over Nason. Brad, points wise.
What's up?
I think you skipped Nason because points wise is Shea, Nason, Burns.
Oh, so they both have 27.
Oh, okay.
And so, NHL.com has Nason listed as 7, Burns as 8. But you're right. Oh, they are tied in points, sir. Although Burns has a better plus minus.
I'll say Burns is Tropical Storm, although, man, he struggled so mightily getting the puck past that first blocking forward on the power play, and he just struggled keeping the puck in on the blue line, right? And every time he'd take that shot and it would get blocked, it would mean a breakaway on the other end, which caused so much troubles for a goaltender, because look, breakaways, you can't expect them to save every breakaway. Just too much to ask. So he is a storm that is ascending.
I'm going to be a little critical here. In kind of anticipating this from the beginning, he kind of had one foot in on both lower ends for me. Yeah. He's getting an ascend. I don't know if I'd even call it, like, it's not like a high ascending tropical depression, but he's getting a tropical depression from me. We're not seeing the guy who is putting up record-breaking points for a team and producing offensively the way that we expected him to. And I don't want to blame it on age, because that's what I used to defend last year, or Was it? No, it wasn't last
you,
year.
You used it against him, and I had to talk you off that ledge.
Yeah, just a little bit, but like I'm starting to lean there again. It looks like age is finally kind of starting to catch up to him. He's not moving as well as Brent Burns of years past has. And yeah, tropical depression for me.
Tropical storm. I got him a tropical storm. It's not the greatest year, but he has produced when needed. So it could be better, but I wouldn't say depression. I got him like middle of the road. Ho hum, tropical storm.
Brad.
I had him as a depression until recently, and I'm actually on Bailey's train here. He looks old. I mean, he just looks old. He's definitely slowed down. He is slower to react, which is causing those shots, I think, to go into the defenders instead of on goal. But he also had a slow start last year, and it wasn't until like January where he picked it up. So I'm like, maybe in Carolina, he's just kind of saving it until the second half. So I gave him a tropical storm, but there's a lot there that, you know, there's a lot of room before he would hit hurricane status. He needs to keep going. So the man whose name I always know is correct, and then I talk myself out of it, and then I get it right eventually. But Stefan Nason, I'm going to go first here. Hurricane. Oh, exactly. Me, man.
No, sorry,
he's an E. Is there an elite? Like, this guy is a category five to me. He is the one guy consistently who has just gone off the whole year. Never have to worry about him. I gave him the highest compliment I think I can give a player. And I told Ray, I said, he is the new Kevin Adams.
Oh wow!
Ooh,
that's high.
Have
that's
no
high
idea
praise.
What that
that's
means.
High praise. No, it, no,
I right. praise.
No, yeah, no.
I yeah. Oh, sorry, Zach.
You're good. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, when I think of players who have a dead set absolute role on the team, Stefan Nason is the first guy who comes to mind. He's going to be the gritty player. We're not known as a team who gets these highlight reel goals with guys who are making first through third NHL star of the week every week, or like star of the month, whatever. Like, Aho's been the only player for us this year, and that was perfect. Absolutely. I didn't expect that, but when it comes to gritty goals, first guy that comes to mind is Stefan Nason and his net front, a constant, consistent net front presence. It's something that we lost with Trocheck, and I preach this at any point that I can, but we lost a lot of our net front presence and our grit in front of the net when we lost Trocheck. And I think Nason has brought a lot of that back. He's a gritty guy. He's a guy who's going to step up if one of his players goes down. Somebody gets sent into the boards, he's the first guy ripping his gloves off to go defend. A hurricane for me.
Yeah, I got him as a hurricane. Him and Jack on the second line has been going off. He's a bottom six. I use that in air quotes, of a bottom six guy. You don't see a lot of those guys being on the power play back-to-back seasons and still contributing like he is. Net front presence, he can muck it up. He's got the grit. Like, he if it wasn't for him and Jack, like what Brad said earlier, kind of carrying the team for a good part of the season, we'll be in a lot worse spot. I cannot wait for this contract extension for him to kick in. He's got his 100th point this year too. So yeah, no, he's a hurricane, a bottom six guy who's on the power play and is absolutely just putting in the work. If anyone says otherwise of him not being a hurricane, I don't know what you're watching.
Yeah, that 100%. Perennial fan favorite, one of mine.
Oh, Ray, what did you say?
I said hurricane. Did I skip you, Ray?
I we did, but there's no worries. Oh. Hurricane. He goes to the front of the net, and he's fantastic.
I got you, Ray. I got you.
Yeah.
I wrote down hurricane for Ray. I guess I just knew. Right?
Just automatic.
Telepathy.
Yeah, like exactly.
Automatic.
You're on the same wavelength. That's fine.
Teuvo Teravainen, the man who hates to be interviewed, which I swear is why he doesn't score more goals.
He's a hurricane through and through.
Hurricane. Hurricane, 100%.
Bailey?
I'm going to be a little critical here. He is a mid to high tier tropical storm.
Get off the spot. Just get out.
I think his production, he is producing, and I'm seeing a little bit of a more confident Teuvo than I think we've seen in years past. This is a guy who's still holding on to his pass first mentality, but he's losing it a little bit. And he's shooting the puck more, and we're seeing a lot more of the rocket shots that we saw 2-3 years ago from this guy. But with that said, I think there's a lot more gas in the tank that he is for some reason holding on to and not letting out. And I'd like to see more of it. So tropical storm
yeah. for me. He's a hurricane for me. I have the same concern as Bailey, but I think, you know, because it's hard to get out of a particular mindset. But we all Absolutely. Know when Tavo shoots, he scores like regularly. So mm-hmm. we need to do that. We gotta rip through kind of the last four or five here. Because unfortunately, Absolutely. I have a time crunch. My little man has going to swimming for a swim team, and it's snowing, which means traffic will be worse than
gross.
That.
And yeah. it's yeah, and, right. it's and it's Boston, so.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's going to be driving 140 miles an hour. So
these will be
lovely. All right, speed run.
Andrei Svechnikov.
Hurricane.
Tropical storm.
I love him, but I'm going to go tropical storm, although lately it's been more hurricane-esque.
That's why I put him in hurricane. His place in December and into January has been off the charts. That's why he's a hurricane. He's popped off.
That's right. Michael Bunting.
Low tropical storm.
High end of tropical storm.
I had him at depression. I expected a lot more out of him. And, you know, it stinks because he's been moved around so much.
Mm-hmm.
But look, I say tropical depression. I know that's harsh. He's not terrible, but just the expectation aspect as well. I don't think we're going to get the 20 goal guy this year.
He's making $300,000 less than I guess Barry Kokaniemi is. So similar contracts. Difference is this guy doesn't have a role. This guy isn't playing what we to the aspect that we kind of brought him into play. Yeah.
He's only 10 goals off of 20. So there is time for him to.
I suppose there is time for him to pop off. And if he does, I'm not saying that he's going to be down there forever, but just what I wanted from him right off the hop, just not enough.
Yeah. I said storm because, you know, after what we saw him capable of doing in Toronto, I was kind of expecting him to come in and maybe help anchor that first line. And it never quite fit. And hey, that's life, right? And yeah, I kind of agree. I think he's been bounced around some. So we need to figure out, well, what can he do? And I really would like to put him with with Nazan and Drury again, because then you have, you know, the kids willing to go in the corner or, you know, and get the puck out to two guys who are both willing to camp in front of the net. And that always, you know, is a good thing to me. So the last controversial one, potentially, Marty Natchez.
Oh, boy.
He's an ascending tropical storm for me. And that is saying a lot, considering I put him on my Christmas wish list for our podcast.
Same. Yeah, that's where I was too for the wish list.
Yep. So he's finally starting to look like the Marty Natchez of last year, who is stepping up to pucks, who doesn't look shy when it comes to putting on pressure. He's gaining a lot of that confidence back. And I think I have no idea if, you know, being on injury gave him some sort of like meditation, eye-opening life crisis moment thing. But he came out of his injury, illness, whatever it was thing, and has absolutely been phenomenal. Pretty much everything you'd want to ask of him, ascending low end tropical storm for me.
Yeah. He said his mindset definitely in the box, it helped him kind of reset, his play and stuff like that. And it's not back passes to nowhere. It's not getting sucked into a black hole. Yeah,
it was a nice reset for him that he
needed. Yeah, he was a low end tropical storm now going into. Yeah, actually, he was almost depression, but he's getting towards that middle tropical storm range.
He was a depression for me before he came back from injury.
Yeah, the resets definitely helped him. So I think we're not going to get the natures of last year, but he's ascending back into a pace where he was that guy. So he's tropical storm for me.
Right.
Okay, I'll go. Look, tropical storm ascending out of depression. He would quickly get to hurricane if he loses the back pass to no one all the time, and the triple cow, sow cow at the blue line. If he
the pirouettes,
you know, the triple sow cow and all of those, you know, it was funny. He was doing it. This is a comment I made with Brad during the game in Boston, and he did that friggin' pirouette at the blue line. And I wrote Brad, I said, Nate, you know what? I know that your mom took you to figure skating lessons when you were a kid to learn how to skate better. You don't have to continue to show her now that you can continue to skate beautifully. You don't have to show her anymore. Just use your speed. He's like, he's an amazing skater, ridiculously fast. You can't be touched. Knock it off with the cute little dipsy doodle.
Again, it comes back down to playing simple hockey, I think, for him. Mm-hmm. And
don't be Jeff Skinner with your pirouettes.
Yeah, there you go. I have him as a tropical storm. If he shores up his defense, I worry about more than his offense. So
yeah,
The last two I think are these are super easy, super quick. Seth Jarvis,
Hurricane.
And Sebastian Aho,
Hurricane.
Hurricanes 2.0.
Cat 5.
The world. He is Cat 5.
Superstar.
Like I said, Francis 2.0. That's the way people should look at him. And people are now saying he is a superstar. I'm hearing that word connected to him more than it ever was before.
On pace for 100 points. He'll be the first guy to do it since Eric Staal.
Doing great. What about what about the PK? What do we think about PK?
So real quick, penalty kill, I'm going to do all of them real quick. The penalty kill power play, I think I'm going to give them tropical storms because they have been on fire as of late, but they need to maintain that. And I want to see them maintain that for more than just a week or two. I want to see them maintain that for a while.
Straddling a tropical storm, but straddling that line like Pano.
Yeah, 100%. I'm there to ascending into hurricane. They're really caught fire. Amazing.
I'm going to call them both a Cat 1 hurricane, nice. Especially considering where they were to start the season. Seeing, especially if you want a classic, like this is what not to do with your special teams. It's the game I was at against the Colorado Avalanche. Special teams was their Achilles heel there. And I think they've really, really done a great job of building that up and making it into what it is today. It's hard to come back from where they were at to be second in the power play in the league as of today.
Thank you so much for joining us. We've had an absolutely amazing show. I love doing this, the breakdown, with guests that are as brilliant and well-spoken as you guys. There's a reason why the Surgecast is as great as it is and why it's being followed so much. Pimp your show. Go.
Zach.
Surgecast. We are at the Surgecast on all platforms. Just it's an easy search. We're all the same. We have link trees. If you need to click the link tree to find where we're at. I'm One True Zach on Twitter. That's where you can find me. I have my own personal link tree to find all my stuff.
Yeah. Bailey Curtis, Bailey with two Y's, and Kaniac Chick for Cat Hunter on Twitter.
Awesome. That's Brad, awesome. The 100.
100. Yeah, 100 episodes. Thank you guys so much for being a part of our 100th episode. I wish we weren't short of time, but you know, life is important and family first. So,
yeah,
because we could do another couple hours, like easy.
Easily,
we wanted to.
This is not the end all be all. We will be seeing you guys again, I'm sure.
Absolutely, right?
No question.
A quick shout out to all the guests we've had over the years who have made the show awesome. I'm not going to name everybody because there's just no way. Laura Wheeler, who was our first guest. Zach was one of our early guests as well. Yeah. Mary came on. Courtney and Beth came on to talk women's hockey. Haley, who I think was the first person who liked us whenever I created the Twitter account and stuff. Gina and Eric, Patty, these are Sydney, a lot of old names here. Corwin, Daniel Wagner, Samantha Wismer. Colin from Home Ice Advantage, and then more recently folks like Nancia, Computer and Coin, Mike Solarte, who joined us. So Joe Oves was there. We had Wade Mentor on recently, a couple of folks from the Canes, Canic Annie's awesome. that's just like a third of the people have been on the show. So thank all of you, because I, you know, our show is really about the Caniacs as much as it is the Hurricanes and the community that they've built. And the Canes have, you know, they started that, and we're hoping to just add to that, right? We're hopefully like the sprinkles on top of the dessert. So, but thanks everyone, Bailey and Zach, especially for coming on. It has been a really wonderful, like 3.5 years and 100 episodes.
Absolutely.
Congrats on 100 again, guys.
You guys are doing great work. So proud to see you guys prospering and thriving in this Canes podcast community. Being your friend and colleague is a joy and a pleasure, and I look forward to doing many, many, many more episodes.
Love it.
Thank you.
Really, what else is there to say other than go Canes?
Go Canes.
Go Canes.
Thank you everyone for tuning in. Ray and I greatly appreciate your support in helping us produce an informative and fun podcast. As always, we'd like to say that we believe hockey is for everyone. Whether you're a Caniac or a bunch of jerks, doesn't matter, as we're just a couple of jerks anyway. We would love to hear your questions, comments, and suggestions. We will do our best to answer anything hockey related. You can reach us via email at stormcellar97@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are @stormcellar97, and on Facebook at facebook.com/stormcellar97.